Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Waleed Shubat, who was a raised Palestinian and raised was a terrorist, eventually converted, became a Christian, and he's here in the United States trying to get people to understand what is really going on in the Muslim world. Waleed, thank you so very much for being with us again.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
And remember, this is an entirely different audience. Waleed's been with us before, speaking to our other audiences, but this is a different audience, so don't be afraid to repeat the things that you've said before with us. Under any circumstances, would like your take on really what's going on. Certainly, yeah, there have been a lot of demonstrations this last week over in Israel. Apparently, there's a lot of unrest there because of the living standards. And then, of course, we see this continued strife in Syria, Libya, riots in Egypt because of the poor living standards. And what are your take on all of these things? Would like your commentary, please.
Well, when there is, say, food shortages, when there is employment problems, economic problems, there's always, you know, advantage takers to basically topple government. Greece has economic crises. Europe has economic crises. If everybody's going to topple a government because of economic crisis, the whole world will be toppled upside down. But the problem in the Middle East has always been that when there is an opportunity, you know, the Islamists will never stop taking advantage of crisis. If you look at the Middle East, even you go to Lebanon, you know, who provides food and water for the poor? Or in Gaza, you have the same thing. It will be Hezbollah, Hamas, Syria. The Muslim Brotherhood has always been making a case in Syria, also in Libya, also in Tunisia. Even if I look at CNN's report today in Syria, you hear the shouts of Allahu Akbar in the middle of all the shootings and all the killings and everything that happens. If you go to Tunisia, who do you find involved in Tunisia? You find the Al-Nahda movement. Al-Nahda is an associate of the Muslim Brotherhood. In other words, what Americans don't understand about the Middle East is that we have always supported uprooting what we think are despots or tyrants. Well, what happens usually is that in the process of uprooting tyrants, we simply replace one tyrant with another tyrant. If you look at every single case in the Middle East, this holds true. You look at Iran, when Carter was silent about the, plea of the Shah of Iran to help out. What happened? We simply exchanged one tyrant with another tyrant. You had the Khomeini coming from France. So history proves that we repeat the same mistake over and over and over again. Egypt, while the reports were going on about the demonstrations in Egypt, that Hosni Mubarak was a dictator, so on and so forth, the Twitter boy story, the Facebook story with the Wael Ghunaim, if you recall that guy who basically, you know, was touted in the media, sparked the Egyptian revolution. One man with his, you know, ability to send the message through technology. What happened? As soon as the revolution succeeded, he was basically expelled from speaking on Victory Friday. And then you have the international liaison of the Muslim Brotherhood, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, speaking instead. And what were 2 million Egyptians chanting? They were chanting in the Arabic language. I heard it. Americans don't understand what they say, and neither does the media show it.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Waleed.
Yeah, they were chanting. Are we on the air?
No, yes, we are.
Oh, I'm sorry. They were chanting, "Al Quds Rashin Shuhada Bil Malayin." This is Arabic. What does that mean?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Egypt is to Jerusalem we go, martyrs by the millions. In other words, basically tremendous agitation against Israel. And of course he talks about how certainly there's a growing unrest throughout the whole area there, certainly in Tunisia, in Egypt, in many of the Arab countries, and they're all looking for somebody, you know, who can guide them there. That basically, philosophically, they really want to have a strong leader. And what seems to be the source of the strength, where probably will it come from? Why, of course, from Turkey. Now, Turkey traditionally has been secular. Now, supposedly, they've changed the direction of the regime to a more moderate stance. But, of course, as Waleed points out, and very justifiably so, the stance that they're really taking is that of the Muslim Brotherhood. The stance that they're really taking is that Turkey wants to become the religious and political leader of the resurgence, the reconstitution of the Ottoman Empire. Please go right ahead.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. It is really, if you look at neo-Ottomanism, that's the name of the game in the Middle East. While the West is still trying to scratch beneath the surface to understand the Islamic world, they're still kind of contemplating, secular Islam versus violent Islam, or Islam was hijacked, or Faisal Abdul Rauf is a Sufi Muslim. Sufi Islam is basically a mystic kind of Islam. Maybe these are the peaceful version of Islam. When you see videos, which nobody shows, of course, on YouTube, everybody should plug in the word Nazim Kibrisi. This is the name of a Sufi cleric who was speaking in front of Erdogan and Erbakan on the days when the Islamist party began. They were speaking in Germany to thousands, an arena filled with tens of thousands of Muslim Turkish students. And what was he saying, this Sufi mystic who's a peaceful Muslim? He was saying, what are we waiting for? Europe and America will bow to Islam. You are the grandchildren of the greatest Ottoman who ruled the world, you know? And he's going on with a Hitleric type of speech in Turkish language, of course. And he's telling and portraying to the students there in Germany that the time has come for the Ottoman Empire to revive itself. I've been talking about a revival of the Ottoman Empire for years. A couple decades. No one was listening. I was basically discounted because at the time I was talking about all of this, Turkey was an ally of the U.S. It was an ally of Israel. Today we know Turkey is not an ally of the U.S. Had they been an ally of the U.S., they would have allowed us to use the airfields when we had the Gulf War. They denied us from using the airfields from using their land. They threatened if Israel does anything about Iran, Turkey will not stand by silent. Let us not forget, Turkey is not some small minuscule country. It has the second largest army in NATO after the United States of America. Its army combined can defeat Germany and Great Britain and France combined. Of course, we're not looking at the Air Force or the naval ability of Europe. They can probably defeat Turkey, but they have a great, huge army. So they're advancing their military abilities. Even President Obama has signed an agreement with Turkey to provide them with the newest, best of the F-35 jet fighters, which will basically undermine our ability in the naval and the Air Force ability if we have a war in the future in the Middle East. So there is no vacuums in the Middle East. Whenever there is a vacuum, something fills it up. We got to look at the history. And as the wise have always said, history is always repeated on the fool. In other words, we're being foolish here, allowing history to repeat itself in the Middle East without examining why we constructed our naval ability, why we sing the song from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. These things are not taught to our school children to realize that we have ethics and we have a system that is much better than what Islam is offering, Sharia law. We are forgetting to go back to absolute. We are looking at things as whatever truth you believe in, truth is in the eye of the beholder. Not so. Reality will come and will only come when death toll rises and we have catastrophe.
I fear that you're right, and I think that, of course, what we try to do is get the American people to understand that we are facing a great potential crisis over there in the Middle East. Certainly, I believe our forces are over there working behind the scenes, and for some strange reason, why the Obama administration is doing everything they can to build up the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, what most people don't understand is Hillary Clinton has chosen as her chief foreign policy advisor for that area of the world a woman, a very attractive Muslim woman, whose mother, well, I'm going to let you tell the story, Wally, because I think this is so vitally important. Who is this woman who's Hillary Clinton's advisor who travels the world with Hillary? I mean, Hillary has been saying, you know, we've got to build an accommodation with the Muslim Brotherhood. And yet, of course, these are not moderate Muslims. These are radical revolutionary Muslims who would constitute a dominant Muslim force in the world and confront the West. And yet we're doing everything we can to help them. And who is this woman who's the chief foreign policy advisor for Hillary for that part of the world?
Her name is Huma Abedin. While the West, especially in the U.S., were focusing on the sex scandals of her husband, Anthony Weiner, they forgot to look at her background. Her mother has been found to be a member in the Muslim Sisterhood, which is a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. 63 clandestine secret members of the Muslim Brotherhood leaked out, in which it was published all throughout the Middle East, when nothing was published in the United States of the sisterhood organization. Her mother sits in with Omar Nassif. Omar Nassif is one of the godfathers of Al-Qaeda. Her brother, Hassan Abedi, he sits on the Islamic Studies in Oxford University, in which he sits alongside in the director board with Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, who occasioned suicide bombing, who's the international liaison of the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Omar Nassif, the one who basically funded a lot of the monies that went to Al-Qaeda. Let's not forget, it was Wahhabist and Muslim Brotherhood who were exiled from Egypt, who went to Saudi Arabia, who collaborated together to give birth to Al-Qaeda, to give birth to Hamas. So the Muslim Brotherhood's hands is filled with blood. But because the organization technically itself does not carry out explosive acts, it enters the political arena as innocent of terrorism. And that's the ticket. We have to focus on how they change their name and how they cover themselves. The Council of American Islamic Relations used to be part of the IAP, Islamic Association of Palestine, which was a branch of the Hamas operative in the U.S. That's why many of their leaders are caught involved with Hamas, financial terrorism, as well as terrorist acts in which they were imprisoned. So we have to understand what's going on here. What is Huma Abedin doing there? People, see, the American thinking process thinks this way. Well, Mr. Shabbat, so what? Her mother is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Are you applying guilt by association? Well, yes, indeed. Because when we hire federal employees, guilt by association is a valid recognition of an invalid employee. In other words, your links and your associates determine whether you qualify to hold a federal position in a federal office. So, they're ignoring all of these things. In fact, Huma Abedin these days is undercover. She's basically hiding out somewhere. She's not showing up in the public arena after our initial report. And this is why, when we translate these documents and what goes on in the Middle East and showing the double speak, the media is frantic. They don't like what we show. And this is why we are the most attacked groups in this country, the ones who are really on the front line, showing really what's going on and truly what's going on in the Middle East versus what's happening in the United States.
Now, let me just sort of clarify for our listeners. Basically, what, because Waleed is saying, is that Hillary's closest advisor, the woman who travels around the world with her, is a Muslim woman. Her mother is a member of the Muslim sister, the sisterhood, rather Muslim brotherhood. The sisterhood, a brother certainly, is an active member of the radical Islamic movement. And this is the woman, she's a Muslim woman, married to a Jewish congressman. This was Wiener. You remember Wiener, who was actually emailing all these pictures of himself or texting all of these pictures of himself in rather embarrassing positions to young women throughout the country. That is her husband, and this is the young woman who's advising Hillary, who's saying we've just got to work more closely with the Muslim Brotherhood. What sort of madness is this? Why are we doing everything we can to actually build bridges to help this subversive organization, the Muslim Brotherhood? So much of what's going on in the world doesn't make sense. And Chris, as Waleed said, that he has certainly come under vicious attack, and CNN, many of the other means of getting information out, have viciously attacked Waleed. Why? Because he's telling the truth. You're not going to hear this elsewhere. And, Chris, when you tell the truth in America, you can be certain that the controlled media, and it is controlled, will viciously attack those who are getting the truth out. We'll be back in just a moment with the Waleed Shabbat. Waleed, you go right ahead.
Okay. What we have to understand is that it's impossible also to have a Muslim girl of a prominent.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Support Sharia law, they want to have Sharia law supplant American law. So because of Christopher Walid has spoken out against those organizations and people who are advocating we bring Sharia law to the United States, why CNN and other means of communication here in America have said, well, Walid is saying you cannot trust any Muslim, you can't trust your Muslim doctor, you can't trust your Muslim teachers, you can't trust any Muslim, and that's not what he said at all. They've twisted what he said, and they've done it intentionally. Why? Because he's bringing out the very real threat, not of the average Muslim, but of the radical Muslims who would destroy America and really bring this radical form of Muslim belief to all of the Muslims of the world. And basically, of course, most Muslims don't want this sort of thing. They just want to be able to live their lives and be left alone. But unfortunately, it would appear there are people within our own administration who are actively encouraging this radical form of Muslim faith. Waleed, you go right ahead.
Yes, but by this, by no means we say we cannot critique Islam. Just by no means we cannot say to a Jew that you cannot critique Christianity, because a Jew doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God or that he was the Messiah for the world. We don't, you know, object on critique of religion. You know, it was critique of religion that stopped the Buddhists in India from committing sati, which was the process of burning widows. And thank God for the Judeo-Christian ethics that objected and said we can't have this law in India, and they changed the law in India to save tons of women. So while we object on Sharia, we object on and we critique Islam, its doctrine, or its Sharia inceptions, or its rules, that doesn't mean that we are racist against Muslims. That doesn't mean anything, because even you have books like Christopher Hitchens. He says, God is not great. Would he write a book, Allah is not great? I don't think he would do such a thing, because everybody's afraid to even critique Islam. Fear of getting a label on their forehead that says Islamophobe. What is ironic about all this is that when I was a terrorist, I was an Islamist. Nobody accused me of anything except being a freedom fighter. The day that I decided to change my mind and begin to expose the Islam, that's when I became a racist, a bigot, Islamophobic, hate monger. Go figure. It is really the problem of stopping us from having our freedom of speech. If we can stop the freedom of speech, CARE is very good at it. They want to stop all Americans from critiquing anything, from even teaching about terrorism at Homeland Security. In other words, experts on Islamist terrorists should only be either atheist or socialist or even Muslim, who will be from an organization like Islamic Society of North America. But God forbid there'll be a Christian or somebody of a Jewish ethics who has lived in Israel, who knows what the Islamists are all about. These should not be permitted to be teaching about the threat of Islamism.
Well, I share your concern. It's so important that the American people need to understand that a Judeo-Christian way of life is ultimately under attack. Unfortunately, it's under attack from people at the highest echelons of our government and governments throughout the world. There are areas in England today where they actually have Sharia law there, and you better be very careful when you go into those areas, because they're governed under Sharia law. Why would England, the foundation of the ideas of freedom that came to America with our founding fathers, why would England begin to adopt certain areas of their country under Sharia law?
Well, two reasons, in my opinion. Reason number one, reason number one is that when a generation is taught not to be proud about its history, other histories and constitutions are so willing to come and replace it. We have been for years teaching a generation, you know, that England was an imperialist culture. England occupied India. England did this and that, forgetting that even it was England that basically built roads and education in the Middle East, and they have contributed tremendously in India, despite some of the negatives. So we're teaching the generation to basically hate and not be proud of their own culture and history. And that's what happens. And the other thing is that it's not naivete by the liberal movement in Europe, especially in England, that they're basically not combating the Islamists, because they agree with much of what many of the Islamists say. Even
hold that thought. Hold that thought.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Some activists have made common cause with the homosexuals, they made common cause with the communists and the Marxists, and everybody who, of course, hates the West. And basically, these people are demonstrating, but their ultimate goal is to weaken our country to the point where it will be totally ineffective. The problem is they have tremendous amount of help from not only the current administration, but from previous administrations who are doing everything they can to build up this radical Muslim movement. But why would rational people do that? Well, Wally, you go right ahead. Well, before we do, though, I'd like you, of course, to get your telephone number out, tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your material, and if you have a website.
Our telephone number is 720-935-2826, 720-935-2826. Our website is very simple. As you spell the word shoe, S-H-O-E, and bat, B-A-T, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com.
Shoebat.com. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yes.
And what about your book? How can people get your book?
It's easy from our website if they want to support our cause, or they can get it from Amazon, much cheaper. In which they could read my latest work, For God or for Tyranny, When Nations Undermine the Laws of God. And you see Obama. Obama goes to, what's the first thing he does when he becomes president? He goes to Turkey. He goes to Egypt. And what does he say there? He compliments, the Quran. He compliments Islam. And he basically undermines what happened in history. In other words, he does not remind the Turkish government that they need to finally recognize nasty massacre they committed in Armenia that Hillary even Clinton says talking about the Armenian genocide is counterproductive. In other words, we are living in a time in which you had, let's say, the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. But the government is saying we should not point out to the Germans the need to confess the Holocaust because it will undermine the delicate peace process that we are having. Let us not forget, when the West was having a delicate peace process with the Ottoman Empire, Smyrna was massacred with hundreds of thousands of Christians beheaded, in which the heads were in the water and the ships couldn't even get out of the dock because they got tangled up with the women's hairs. You know, we forgot the history of the Armenian genocide. So in essence, the problem that we're doing in the Islamic world versus our own world in the West is we basically finally got Germany to be succumbed and forced to admit its genocide. In Germany, it is illegal to deny the Holocaust. You go to jail. In Turkey today, if you talk about the Armenian genocide, you will go to jail. So what is the problem with the West versus the East is that we're not requiring the East to moderate, to basically have what I call confession. Because confession is a Judeo-Christian trait. And this is what fascinated me about the Judeo-Christian culture. They confess. They have no problems talking about the crusaders or the mishaps here and there. They basically look at themselves and they blame themselves for things they haven't even committed just for the sake of peace. While in the Islamic world, there's nothing confessed. Nothing at all. There was never the massacring of any Christian populations in the Middle East. In Turkey, the Armenians, the Smyrna, you look at in Egypt, the persecution of the Copts. Who's talking about the Copts today? What media is discussing? What is really happening in Iraq when it comes to the Assyrian Christian? Who is coming to the plight of the Pakistani Christians who are being massacred because of blasphemy law? The very law that it seems that CNN wants to pass because, God forbid, I committed a sinful act, according to the liberal media. I have basically stated that I support the persecuted in Pakistan, that I stand alone, you know, fighting against the Islamists. They want to make it illegal for us to what? To critique Islam. If they succeed, that's the same law that is going on in Pakistan. Why would we be changing our laws to fit the laws of Pakistan, in which we cannot blaspheme Islam? Everybody's allowed to blaspheme whatever in this country. God can defend himself. We don't need to defend him.
Well, of course, if you were to be the valedictorian of a school and mention God at your speech at the graduation, why, you'd get into real trouble. If you were in the military and you were a chaplain, you were to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'd get into trouble. People do not understand. There is an organized effort to within the United States today to destroy Christianity. That is why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. It had nothing to do with the Constitution. Suddenly it was perfectly all right up until 1962, and then suddenly everything changed. It changed because, in my estimation, the secret society had taken control of our Supreme Court, and of course that was the Masons. They controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971, and nobody, none of our spiritual or religious or political leaders, will tell the American people why they took God and prayer out of our schools, because they wanted to destroy Christianity. But of course, they would never do the same thing with the Muslim faith. Go right ahead, Walid.
Well, but that's what attracted me to Christianity, because I saw Christianity standing alone against all the other isms of the world. Why were the communists suppressing the Christian? Why were the Islamists suppressing the Christian? Why were everybody else suppressing the Christians? Even in India, they suppressed Christians. Even in China, they suppressed Christians. Why is it? I began to see that Christianity really stands alone. The Judeo-Christian ethics is a very different thing than all the other ethics in the world. And it seems to have done a great job changing the West from the Roman era till our era, in which we introduced a wonderful constitution that we so much enjoy, it seems that it's working. You know, it does work. But it's always this, the French Revolution. What did they want to do? Eliminate Christianity. The Nazis, what were the Germans putting in their churches? Let's say, the swastika with the Mein Kampf instead of the Bible? Why is it an attack on Christianity? Why was the youth in Nazi Germany, you know, dancing and singing that Hitler is our savior instead of Jesus Christ? What is this whole issue about whether Jesus was crucified or not crucified, as Islam proclaims? Why the focus on one man? It attracted me to Christianity, in which I began to basically ponder and look into it further to find out that really, God wasn't interested in making government systems. He was interested in us obeying the government system, because God is not about a government. He is about a people following God's heart, and God will take care of the government. And we have lost this connection, that we as an American society do come from a Christian heritage, and we've ignored that heritage. And we've taught our kids, and my kids went to school in California. It was ridiculous, the things they had to endure. So, what else can I say? That's the problem.
Well, I think you've said it very well, and because we always try to reiterate over and over again, that we are involved in a spiritual battle. It's not a political, ideological, or cultural battle, but it is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And Christian civilization is under attack today from some of the most powerful and influential people in the United States. That is the great tragedy.
I do agree 100%. When I read the Bible as a Muslim, I began to see that all the nations mentioned in the Bible were Islamic, and I began to wonder, why is Libya in the Bible? Why is Arabia in the Bible? Why is Lydia, that is Turkey, in the Bible? Why is Iraq in the Bible? Why is Syria, Lebanon? Why is even Gaza in the Bible? Of course, that's Hezbollah, that's Hamas, that's the AKP party, that's what's going on today, mustering themselves to come against Israel. In other words, when I read the Bible, I was fascinated with it, because I began to ask myself a question. Either the authors of the Bible were perfect guessers, or indeed there's a God. There's only two choices. How could they predict all these things so accurately, in which we see them? And I began to speak out. I began to go all over the world, talking about even Turkey attacking Israel in the future. Well, that was in 1994. People were laughing at me because Turkey was an ally of U.S. and Israel. After the flotilla and after what has been going on in Turkey, they're laughing no more. In fact, they're doing a paradigm shift, and they're beginning to revisit the Bible. And this is what happens a lot of times. People revisit the Bible and find out that there's something wrong with what they're doing. During the Black Plague, they revisited the Bible and founded washing. Washing was a good thing, and then the Black Plague was, you know, no more. So I think the American populace need to revisit their Judeo-Christian ethics and heritage and look at the Bible. It is not far-fetched that the Bible is accurate. It seems to have been the anvil that I tried to destroy, thinking that I was the hammer. Instead, I was broken in two, and the anvil still remains. Everything it says and everything that it proclaims seems to be coming to pass and to be true.
Well, I think this is, of course, one of the great strengths of the Bible, is the prophecies that have already come to pass. But I even think more so is the prophecies that seem to be coming to pass today. We are living in the most exciting times and probably the most dangerous times of modern history. And basically, as we see what's going on in the Middle East, the whole Middle East and the Near East are in ferment. Certainly, there are revolutionary movements in Morocco, certainly in Algiers, certainly Tunisia, and Egypt have already fallen. There's war. America is involved in a war in Libya. Why in heaven's sakes would America be involved in a war with Libya? Why would the United States have almost a quarter of a million troops in Afghanistan when, even according to, of course, Leon Panetta, when he was director of the CIA, and Attorney General James Jones, when he was director of the National Security Council, both acknowledged there's only 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. So why would we have a quarter of a million people there, and why are we attacking Pakistan, and why are we attacking Sydney? Have so many troops still there, at least 50,000 troops in Iraq. We're told they're not combat troops, but does anybody believe that they've really taken away all their weapons? And Sydney, why are we involved in a war in Yemen? We're actually, our planes are there, our drones are bombing Yemen, our drones are bombing Pakistan, and people don't understand that there is tremendous, I believe, tremendous prophetic significance to America's involvement over there, because what we're doing is really strengthening the hand of the Muslim Brotherhood. What are your thoughts on that, Waleed?
Yes, you know, I think when it comes to Afghanistan, it was a mistake that we forgot. I mean, you're correct. Who really gave the green light for the Taliban to grow? Wasn't it not during even the Reagan era, in which they began to aid the Mujahideen against the communists? The communists were the bad guys. The Mujahideen, these guys believe in God like we do, so they're pretty religious like America is. So let's just give them Stinger missiles, let them fight against the communists. And when we got rid of the communists in Afghanistan, we give birth to the Taliban. So we keep repeating the same issues, the same things. When it comes to Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, it's a different type of a mistake. It's a mistake that thinks that we need to show the Middle East that we are not behind these despots, because we had the image all throughout the Middle East that America is behind all these despots. America is what put Mubarak and put Muammar Gaddafi, which is not true. You had Gamal Abdel Nasser before Anwar Sadat even in Egypt, who appointed him. He was a communist. He was anti-America. So who's to blame for Gamal Abdel Nasser? The only one to blame is the Middle East for the despot that is created there, because it's always been that way in the Middle East. They've never accomplished what we accomplished in providing a wonderful constitution, because it is very much a society that is Sharia compliant. Sharia is the problem in the Muslim world. So America wants to change its image in the Middle East. Obama goes and speaks to Egypt. He goes and speaks to Turkey to basically give us a better image. And that's all politics, of course, but it doesn't work, because the despot and the Muslim Brotherhood will use whatever means, because these kind of systems, when it comes to communism or Islamism, they have two things in common. Number one, the end justifies the means. Number two, there is no respect for borders. They're not looking towards just the liberation of Libya. They're looking towards uniting the Muslim world, all North Africa, under an Islamist, law. Tunisia, Libya, Morocco, Algeria, all these were part of the Ottoman Empire. All these were Islamist. Of course, the country that's going to be most endangered, even besides Israel, is Saudi Arabia. Because historically, Saudi Arabia worked against the caliphate, in which it was Saudi Arabia working with the British that dismantled the Ottoman caliphate. And this is the plight of the Muslim world, if you will. We want to basically reassign a caliph. This is what you see on the Temple Mount. You know, Palestinians, what are they demonstrating about these days? They want a caliphate. You know, you will see in the future how the cry for a caliphate and even a Mahdi is not only a Shiite thing, it's also a Sunni thing. You know, all Sunnis must believe in a coming of a Mahdi, the Organization of Islamic Council, which represents a large Muslim body of government, stated in unequivocally that every Muslim must believe in the coming of the Mahdi, or they're no longer Muslim.
Sunni government. For our listeners, of course, when Waleed refers to the coming of the Mahdi, he's really referring to the so-called Muslim Messiah. They believe that this man is coming, he's going to be the world ruler. That is the Mahdi, and that this is the basic element of their faith. And just as we as Christians look for the coming of the Messiah. So the Muslims are looking for the Mahdi who is going to lead the Muslim world to world control. Go right ahead.
You're correct. That's exactly what it is. And when I examine the biblical narrative, I find out that, say, in Daniel chapter 2 and 11, it talks about this person. It says that he will, chapter 9 of Daniel talks about how the Antichrist will basically confirm a covenant for 7 years. Well, in Islamic theology, the Mahdi will also confirm a covenant for 7 years. Everything that was taught to us about the Mahdi was most of it in the Bible as the Antichrist, which was very shocking to me as a Muslim.
And I think that's, right, I think that's important, is that Wally believes, of course, that the Antichrist and the Mahdi are very, very similar. They may even be one and the same. An interesting thing, I think you need to give serious consideration to what he's saying. We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Wally, you go right ahead. We have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program for us.
All right. So when I first examined...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the 4 gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that, thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
And of course, lead the world under Muslim domination. And Wally points out very rightly that when you read the scriptures, why, of course, they describe all of the countries there in that area. They could describe Libya and Egypt and certainly Persia and the countries that you know are Turkey and the others, that all described in the Holy Scriptures, but there's no description at all of certainly the Western and European countries where so many of people think that the Antichrist is coming from. I think that there's a great deal of truth in what Waleed is saying, and certainly the fact that Hillary's closest personal advisor, the woman who travels the world over, a Muslim woman married to a promiscuous, certainly a Jewish pervert, who's mailing pictures of his naked torso to women throughout our country. Why would a Muslim woman be married to a Jewish man who's mailing out pornographic pictures of himself? Her mother, this woman's mother, is actually a member of the Muslim Sisterhood, a brother who's closely aligned with Al-Qaeda. Because Waleed has brought this out, that this is Hillary Clinton's closest confidant who travels the world with her. And Hillary keeps saying, we've got to draw closer to the Muslim Brotherhood, because Waleed has dared to bring this out. He's been viciously attacked. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble today, and I hope you enjoyed the program. Now, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. My telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, well, we could certainly use your help, and if you're not, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to get my talks on the dark secret and the forbidden secret and the syllabuses that go with that. You need to get the 4-CD set on the dark awakening and the book we're carrying, The Black Awakening, getting, of course, into the mind control programs that have been inflicted upon hundreds of thousands, if not more, of our citizens. We have a DVD on Operation Monarch. We have DVDs on mind control. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We hope, of course, you want to get so much of the other material we have, whether it would be certainly on this Spirits of Battle. We certainly think our 4-CD set on the Aquarian Conspiracy, my interviews with Constance Cumby. Why are they important? Well, because she has written a book called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, one of the 5 most important books in my library, because it takes us into the metaphysical aspect of what's going on today. You don't hear about metaphysics in your church. You don't hear about metaphysics, certainly on the radio. And yet, you will not find a major city in America that doesn't have a metaphysical bookstore. You will not hardly be able to find a bookstore in America that doesn't have a section on metaphysical books. And many of our Christian bookstores have sections on metaphysical books. What is metaphysics? Well, of course, you need to hear my talks with Constance Cumby. You need to hear her talk on the emergence, what she's been told by the people who are part of this massive movement which dominates our society today. So many of our young people have been recruited to witchcraft and intrigued with witchcraft and the occult through the Harry Potter books. And of course, you take God and prayer out of our schools and you put Harry Potter in there. Should you be surprised when young people are turning to witchcraft and looking for meaning of the world? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com.
Let us all be grateful. America, land that I love.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they happen to be the views of William Grigg, who is formerly senior editor of the New American magazine. Now he writes his own blog. He's had his own radio program. I'm sort of hoping he's going to be able to get back on the radio program. William, did you have a chance to talk to those people I put you in touch with?
Not in depth or in detail, but I am in discussions with them, and I do appreciate your help in getting us together. That was really generous, Dr. Stan. I appreciate that.
Well, I just hope it'll work out. And anyway, have you had a chance to finish up our newsletter yet?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I sent it to you probably about 4 hours ago.
All right, fine.
I'm sorry.
You probably thought, well, I better get it to him before the program this evening.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
All right, fine. Well, William, Chris, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, Dr. Stan, we have to talk about what's been going on in London for the last week or so and how that is clearly a foreshadowing of what we are going to see in the United States in many cities, most likely starting over the next several months. And
well, you're talking about, of course, we've already seen it, and there have been these flash gangs in Philadelphia,
yeah.
in Cleveland. There have been flash, there's been in Chicago, it's been in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, so you explain to what these flash attacks are and why this forebodes something. Now, if anybody thinks this is happening spontaneously, just all shucks, you probably think that these are spontaneous riots in London and in Manchester and Luxor and, of course, Birmingham in England. They're all just spontaneous, just happening by accident. That really isn't true.
No, it isn't.
And basically, well, I'm here. People that listen to me, they hear me all the time. I want your interpretation, first of all, what's happening in London and in Europe, and then what's happening in America. Go right ahead.
What's happening in London and elsewhere in Europe is the classic application of what Carlos Marighella was talking about way back in the 1960s in his mini manual for the urban guerrilla. You're seeing an old revolutionary strategy that's called alternately heightening the contradictions, or pressure from above, pressure from below, or the scissor strategy. And what happens is that you have people who are under-disciplined, who are not merely inchoate street gangs, who for reasons of revolutionary strategy are organizing to attack not the institutions of government, but the institutions of the bourgeoisie, the middle class. And often you deal with people in this environment who are more or less purely ganglionic creatures of impulse, who are going after iPads or flat-screen televisions or other consumer trinkets and tchotchkes, but they are under the discipline of people who fully understand the strategy at work. And the strategy is to create a situation in which the middle class simply cannot function. And this is always accompanied by a complementary display of impotence on the part of the police, the other assets of state security, that withdraw from the battle in such a timely fashion that they expose the people who are supposedly to be protected to the unfiltered rage of this revolutionary mob, and then they intervene after the fact in order to exploit the opening here for a more authoritarian solution to a problem that they have abetted. We're seeing that time and time again in the last several decades. In London, you've seen a really memorable display of this. Just a textbook example of what we're talking about.
In other words, basically, this whole thing is simply being engineered. Some of these young people have come forward and admitted they were paid to get out and demonstrate. Other times, of course, we find out that the police were told, do not intervene. Let them go ahead and loot. Let them go ahead and express their rage. What sort of madness is that? Would you stop the whole thing with a curfew? Why, it's a perfect example. They want this to happen. They just don't want the public to know. You're right ahead, William.
When we're talking about the flash mobs here in the United States, it's important to recognize that we're seeing sort of the premonitory tremors of what's likely to be a major earthquake, a major eruption and earthquake of violence over the next several months and escalating into the foreseeable future. But it's following basically the same dynamic, and it's an application of the same strategy. You've got people organizing by way of social networking online who are using that new technology in order to carry out the classic strategy I'm describing here. Just by way of giving some of your listeners some background, we've talked about this before. It's probably a good idea to review some of the details. Carlos Mayer Gaia was a Brazilian Marxist who was very active in the 1960s in staging and organizing a number of major episodes of insurrectionary violence that were the complement for a crackdown by the military regime in Brazil. The purpose of this was to bring about a revolutionary situation where you'd end up with a full-fledged collectivist government. There are variations and alterations that can be made on the strategy. A little like when you're playing a football game, you have a game plan that often, as is the case, for instance, in military strategy, doesn't survive the first encounter with the opposition, but you have an overall game plan. Within that form, you can improvise and adapt. Sometimes when you're playing football, you'll get to the line of scrimmage, and the quarterback has been given authorization by the coach to call an audible, which is to say, change the play as he looks to the defensive set that's confronting him on the other side of the football. That's the same sort of thing that happens in a rather more sophisticated way when you're talking about revolutionary strategy. But Carlos Mayer Gaia, way back in the mid-1960s, published a tersely written and very illuminating book that digested the strategy of urban guerrilla insurrection and urban terrorism called the Mini Manual for the Urban Guerrilla. There was a major conference in Cuba called the Tricontinental Congress, that met, if memory serves, in either 1966 or 1967. I think it was 1967. And it obviously involved people who were involved in the revolutionary underground from three continents, hence the name Tricontinental Congress. You had people from, if I remember correctly, North America, South America, and Africa. Don't hold me to that, but I think those are the three continents that were involved here. And they were given a really intensified curriculum in the art of urban insurrection and revolutionary urban warfare. And every one of them left that meeting with a copy of the mini manual translated into various suitable languages. It was originally written in Portuguese, translated into Spanish, into French, for people, particularly in Africa, where they have a lot of Francophonic countries, and translated into English. And the
Hold that thought here. Well, Dr. Stan, of course, William is talking about this book was written to explain this whole idea of urban guerrilla warfare and how you would actually be able to utilize this in a civilized society. And, of course, these plans were made a long time ago. They're known to communists throughout the world. And, of course, he points out that this has been used in Cuban conferences. But, of course, what most people don't understand is that the Cuban communist government was brought to power by the American government, mm-hmm. who knew it was communist. Now, you say, well, that couldn't be true. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, he was the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution. A DVD is called World Revolution, and we simply point out, you can hear my interview with Ambassador Smith, as he tells you that he knew Fidel Castro was a communist. The State Department knew Fidel Castro was a communist. The CIA knew that Fidel Castro was a communist. And they brought Fidel Castro to power in Cuba, knowing he was a communist. So this has then become a very convenient enemy. And, of course, they hold their communist planning sessions down there. And basically, of course, one of these he's describing where they're distributing this book on urban guerrilla warfare. Mm-hmm. But you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that just as today, when, of course, our leaders are backing the Muslim Brotherhood that is certainly overthrowing the governments all throughout the Middle East, but what no American understands is that the Muslim Brotherhood has been funded by American and British intelligence going back to 1928. That's covered in a wonderful book called The Devil's Game. We've recommended to you. Not perfect, but it's an excellent source of information. So basically, of course, William is pointing out that now we, of course, have this this revolutionary movement with these spontaneous demonstrations all throughout the world, and if you believe that, well, you're incredibly naive. These key things are carefully orchestrated, and as he points out, pressure from above, pressure from below, and we, of course, caught in the middle. Go right ahead, William.
Exactly. The people who are the productive, law-abiding element of society, the people who are the embodiment of what we would call civilization, find themselves caught in the pincer movement or the scissors movement, and that's something that has happened repeatedly over the last 50 or 60 years. It's important to recognize, once again, that you're dealing here with, on the one hand, these insurrectionary movements that are supported by these revolutionary governments, Marxist governments like the one of Fidel Castro in Cuba, and you have the governments themselves promoting these revolutionary movements that have been brought to power with the help of powerful entrenched interests in Washington, London, places like that. And in the Middle East, you've got a series of dictatorships that were installed by the United States and Great Britain, sometimes by France, and propped up and sustained over the decades by the United States, Great Britain, and France. And then you have these revolutionary movements, which are being instigated by the intelligence agencies, the same governments that installed the surrogate puppet regimes in places like Egypt and Tunisia and elsewhere. And so they control both sides of the equation, and the way that they do this, they target people who are, once again, the remnant, the people who are the productive, independent-minded middle class. And in London, you've got, I think, the confirmation of something that has been going on since 1889 with the founding of the Fabian Society, quite frankly, where the powers that be in that country have been deliberately undermining the pillars of capitalist, that is to say, individualist society, Christian society, as a matter of deliberate policy now for many, many decades. And they've managed to create a huge and permanent population of people who can be mobilized and militarized in the fashion that we've seen over the last week or so. And this is something that a lot of the commentary that I've been reading out of Great Britain from people who are very perspicuous observers has been targeting, is the fact that you're dealing with a population that has been rendered rootless. They've been separated root and branch from conventional society, and they become completely inured to the amoral view of the state in terms of how society should be organized. And it should be organized, according to this view, on the benefit, for the benefit of those who are in need and not inclined to employ their own gifts, use their own exertions in order to acquire that which they need. I mean, the familiar Marxist formulation is from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Need in this case, of course, is assessed by those who are on the receiving end and who are put into the position of acquiring through state coercion and plunder the goods that are produced by the productive. That's the moral perspective of the welfare state in whatever guise. And in Great Britain, you had really the first modern attempt to create a somewhat, I guess, domesticated would be the appropriate word, a version of the same omnivorous collectivist monstrosity that Marx and then later Lenin wrote about, and then in the case of Lenin, put into practice. But the people who are rampaging in Great Britain right now are the children of the state, and they are the embodiment of Lenin's vision of how society is supposed to be organized. That's something that a lot of people who are observing this on the ground in London, or expatriates from Great Britain here in the United States who are familiar with the circumstances, have been pointing out, is that you're dealing here with people who are very much the realization of the fondest malevolent hopes of people like Lenin. And I wanted to underscore once again the critical disclosures made by Carlos Marighella about how this strategy operates. What he wrote in his mini manual was the following: where government actions become inept and corrupt, the urban guerrilla should not hesitate to step in and show that he opposes the government and thus gain popular sympathy. The urban guerrilla fights not only to upset the tax collection system, the weapon of armed action must also be directed against those government agencies that raise prices and those who direct them, as well as against the wealthiest of the national and foreign profiteers and the important property owners. That is to say, they're identifying not only government agencies in the business of collecting revenue and supporting the apparatus of the state, but they're going after people who are conspicuous examples of what the Marxists call the capitalists. People actually do business for a living. That's something that has been a rhetorical touchstone for these mobs over the last week or so. You know, we're going after the businessmen, we're going after the wealthy, we're going after the people who are supposedly receiving their taxes. And don't for a second forget that there are people in the corporate welfare system that do receive taxes. That's one of the chief grievances on the part of the public, but that's not the grievance that's motivating the mobs that are running wild in the streets of Tottenham. The type of people that the mobs are targeting are the people who run small businesses and who are part of the tax victim cohort of the population rather than the tax consuming part of the population. But they're the ones who are on the receiving end of the revolutionary violence. That reflects Carlos Maragueya's strategy and priorities. Now, to continue from Maragueya, the government then has no alternative except to intensify its repression. The police networks, house searches, the arrest of suspects and innocent persons, and the closing off of streets make life in the city unbearable. Once again, we're seeing that play out in London. We're going to see that play out here in the United States. The urban guerrillas must then become even more aggressive and active, resorting without pause to sabotage, terrorism, expropriations, assaults, kidnappings, executions, etc. The role of the urban guerrilla is to continue fighting, keeping in mind the interests of the people, as defined by Marxism, obviously, and heightening, there's that word, heightening the disastrous situation within which the government must act. The idea, as somebody who helped publish this book, he was a very wealthy Italian Marxist publishing mogul by the name of Gian Giacomo Feltrinelli. He died in a really bizarre accident in the early 1970s, at least a lot of people consider it to be an accident, where he was electrocuted under really peculiar circumstances. But he was somebody who'd been very active in the Soviet-sponsored revolutionary underground network. But as he put it later on, the whole idea is to create a revolutionary situation in which there will be what the Marxists call a turn to the right. By the right, of course, they're referring to what we would call martial law, which is to say rule by decree, backed by the presence of troops in the streets and the regimentation of society in a way that makes life unbearable. That's the situation that they want to prevail. As Trotsky used to say it, the worse it gets, the better it is. The worse it gets for the common people, those who are simply trying to live productive lives with minimal interference from the state and trying to do justice to each other in a reciprocal way. That's, of course, the golden rule. That's the basis of any civilized life worth living. Those people are left in a perfectly untenable situation, and that's how the revolutionaries want it. They want to see troops in the street. They want to see the military ruling without stint or limit on its powers. They want to create a situation where it's literally impossible for people to avoid the state, because that's the state apparatus that they want to inherit after they're finished with destroying any impediment to the direct rule by the government. And so they target all those intermediating institutions, the family, the church, private associations that are not connected to the revolutionary underground. These are all things that they destroy, thereby depriving the individual of any protective layers of institutional immunity from the state's scrutiny and regimentation. And that's, once again, the type of the situation that they want to see prevail. And so when we see the flames of revolution sweeping through the streets, what they're doing is they're burning out all of those layers of protection that exist in a normal society that impede the designs of people who control the apparatus of state terror. Now, by way of illustrating how this is working in London right now, I found a fascinating essay by Theodore Dalrymple, who's a former physician, interestingly enough, Dr. Stan. I think for some reason people who are physicians tend to be a little bit more capable of diagnosing social problems in many ways. There are plenty of left-wing physicians who are completely incapable of doing so in any way that I respect, but there are a lot of individualist-minded physicians who diagnose what's going on. Mr. Dalrymple is one of them, and he points out in detail how it is that this strategy by Carlos Maragueya and the other revolutionaries has inspired and is directing what's going on in London right now, and it's really quite fascinating, and I'll share some of his insights with you just a bit.
All right, hold on. Well, of course, I guess you put him, Greg, and sit there. basically what you're seeing today is a carefully scripted program, whether it be in London, whether it certainly be in Egypt, whether it be in Israel, whether it be in Syria, or whether it be in Lebanon, whether it be on the streets of Cleveland or of Wisconsin or Chicago. And believe me, they're having these flash attacks in Chicago as well. You're just not hearing about them. Go right ahead, William.
I've been referring to Theodore Dow.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Infiltrated the German Nazi movement, working at the highest echelons of the Nazi movement, doing everything, of course, that they could to bring the Nazis to power. Why? Because they felt that after the Nazis had been in power, why people had become so disillusioned, they'd be looking for another solution, and that way the communists should come to power. What people don't understand is that all of these organizations, whether it be Nazism or communism or suddenly even the Muslim Brotherhood, they're all being coordinated by the people, certainly at the, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, are the best enemies money could buy. But what people don't understand, I mean, how could this possibly be? I mean, certainly you're not suggesting the Nazi movement was, certainly a finance from America or encouraged from America. And the answer is absolutely. And the same thing with the communist movement. And the same thing is going on today in the Near East and the Middle East with the Muslim Brotherhood, the finest enemy money could buy. Go right ahead.
What's happening in London, and once again, that's a foreshadowing of what's going to be happening here, and we can already once again see auguries and portents of that type of thing that will blossom into the full malevolence of their nature over the next 6 or 8 months. happening in London right now is that you're seeing really a classic application of the strategy. And people like the Carlos Merguez and John Giacomo Feltrinelli's of the world are folks who have been tutored by the past masters of this. Before the break, I was talking about what had happened with the situation in late Weimar Germany and the rise of Adolf Hitler with the help of people like Jan Valtin of the world. There were a lot of people who had been fully mobilized, disciplined communists, people who member of the German Communist Party, members of the German Communist Party, who, as Hermann Göring said, became beefsteak Nazis. They were brown on the outside, red in the middle. One of the really good examples of this was the fellow who headed up the infamous Blood Tribunal. I can't remember the fellow's name right now, but he's the guy who, if anybody is in your audience has seen the film about Sophie Scholl, there's this remarkable climactic scene involving her trial before the so-called People Court, which was headed up by this this justice who had been a full-fledged member of the German Communist Party, and he was just taken on as a jurist under Adolf Hitler. And there are many people who met that description who ended up in places of responsibility. Back in the 1950s, late 1940s, early 1950s, there were a series of, there was a series, rather, of exposés in the old American Mercury magazine describing how in Poland in particular, the people who were occupying and running the death camps that became notorious, Auschwitz, of course, being the marquee name that everybody remembers, they were the they were people who had been trained by the KGB, who'd had experience in, among other things, administering the Holodomor, the hideous terror famine that killed off 10 or 12 million people in Ukraine in the years immediately before Adolf Hitler's ascent to power. But these are people who were communists. They were absorbed by the Nazis into that regime. By the way, the name of that judge was Roland Freisler, also known as Raving Roland. If you want to see a really good example of this beefsteak Nazi work, see the film Sophie Scholl, or even just go to YouTube and see if you can find any of the archival footage of this guy running the so-called People's Court. It was run exactly like Stalin's show trial, and for very good reason. I mean, it was being run by a communist jurist who had the help of a police state apparatus that was largely modeled after what happened in the Soviet Union. But that was how the scissors strategy played out in Germany, where you had the middle class targeted on the one hand by street-level violence involving both the Nazi Free Corps and the communist street gangs. And on the other hand, you had this guy arrive who appeared to be a patron of the middle class and somebody who was considered by many people in the German church to be a providential figure. Adolf Hitler, of course, was not a Christian. He was somebody who very cynically was able to play on those sentiments and to portray himself as a savior of the embattled German middle class that was struck by depression and urban violence. And then he arranged a crackdown in order to deal with the revolutionary violence that they had fomented that resulted in the creation of probably the world's most notorious totalitarian regime. That's the same strategy we're seeing playing out right now. And it's something that we're likely to see play out here in the United States in the very near future.
And I think it's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen. It's like deja vu all over again, such that we have our leaders, many of them profess to be Christians. They're not Christians at all. They're using Christianity to get the Christians behind them, like Governor Perry, talking a good game, getting the support of leading Christians. But, of course, look at his record. Look at his record. William, you go right ahead.
With respect to the comment you just made about Rick Perry, I think that's a very important point. This guy has gone out of his way to position himself as the paladin of Christian conservatism and small government constitutionalism. This is the same guy, we should point out, who was inflicting Gardasil on young girls in the government school systems in Texas. This is the same guy who was presiding over a foster care system that was riddled with institutional perversion and responsible for the molestation and death of many, many kids who are consigned to that by one of the country's most notorious child-snatching bureaucracies. This is the same guy who's attended Bilderberg meetings and is in sick with people at the top echelons of what you properly call the Brotherhood of Darkness, and he's somebody who's being positioned as the champion of mainstream middle American Christian conservatism.
And I think it's so important that this gentleman has attended, my understanding, at least 2 Bilderberg meetings. Now, why would any good conservative be going? I mean, you might get even sucked in one time. I did have a friend who was invited to a Bilderberg meeting, but never was invited back again. But certainly Rick has been invited to 2 Bilderberg meetings. He obviously, all the publicity he's getting out now reflects the establishment control over the media and the fact that he is obviously their candidate. And where is the outcry from our conservatives? Why, some of our leading conservative Christians, and I'm not suggesting they're bad people, but I'm suggesting they're politically naive, and because of that they're dangerous, they're actively supporting him and giving their tested and support and endorsement by appearing at his meetings. Go right ahead.
If his image as a conservative Christian is as funny as his hair color, quite frankly, it's all cosmetic. He's somebody who is very much in the same mold as George W. Bush. I mean, down to the fact that this guy was actually a cheerleader in prep school. It's just odd that they'd recruit people of that sort. That's just something I think about the nature and inclinations of the people we're dealing with. But the thing that I find interesting about...
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just talking about Governor Perry, who's going to be announcing tomorrow that he is going to be running for the Republican nomination for the presidency. He's doing that, of course, to draw attention away from the straw poll in Iowa, which hopefully one of the 2 leading conservatives there will win, but it would be interesting to see what happens. But Rick Perry is an establishment man. He's been put forward by the establishment. He is their candidate. He's attended Bilderberg meetings not once but several times. This is a man, of course, who has a record of supporting radical causes. Now he's trying to position himself to run for the Republican nomination. However, right now, of course, I want William, Greg, to tell us how people can get to his blog site, how people then can get to his PayPal button, and hopefully before long how they can get to his radio program. He doesn't have it at the present time, so we really can't tell you, but we're trying to position him, and hopefully that we can get him on to at least a few minutes every half an hour every week on the A network we're on in the Midwest. But anyway, how can people get to your blog site, your writings, and your PayPal button, which of course is helping William maintain his family of about 8. Go ahead.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My blog is called Pro Libertate, ProLibertate. Chances are if you insert that into a search engine, then the first return you'd get would be my blog, Pro Libertate, or at least one of the first several ones. If you insert my last name, Grigg, G-R-I-G-G, as a second term into a search engine, I'm pretty sure that'll triangulate it in such a way that you'll get my blog as the first return. Or you can go to the web address, which is freedominourtime, as one word, freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
And my recommendation is go to your search engine and put in William Grigg. That's what I do.
That'll work fine.
That's the easiest thing to remember. Go ahead.
William Grigg, and there are a few of us, including my son, my oldest son, William Wallace Grigg, who go by that name, and I believe there's still a British football player, that is to say, soccer player by the same name. But William Grigg, if you type that into Google, that's probably the first return to get, which would be Pro Libertate. I try to update it a couple of times a week, Most of my essays tend to be 2,000 or 3,000 words in length, and that does involve a certain amount of time because I'm doing original research. When I do the initial research, that'll usually be one increment of time that's involved, and then the actual writing, and then, of course, fitting it out with all the appurtenances of the cyberspace journalism, including links and photographs and things of that sort. That, you know, it's time intensive. And so I'm not nearly as prolific as I used to be because the length of my essays has expanded now. What had once been a column length, thrice or four times a week output, has now admittedly tapered off to being once or twice a week, but the amount of work I'm doing is about the same. It's just that I'm putting out essays which are much longer. I really should go back to the short form because I think that's more reader-friendly. But if you go to the current edition of Pro Libertate, which was published on Tuesday, just a few days ago, and I'm going to be publishing again over the weekend, the current article is just an astonishing story that literally fell into my lap because of something I had written about 4 years ago about an otherwise obscure little town called Sun River, Oregon. This is a town that's a resort village. It's actually a housing development with aspirations toward being a town. They have people come in every summer from all across the country to take advantage of the gorgeous scenery and the local recreation. It's a beautiful part of the country. It's usually got a population between 800 and 1,200 people, and it's run by a homeowners association that actually operates as a municipal government. Well, unfortunately, about 4 years ago, they had the bright idea of putting together a fully licensed and authorized police department in this little housing development with aspirations toward being a town. They didn't need to. They're part of Deschutes County. They have a perfectly competent sheriff's office there, well-respected and very competent, as I mentioned. They didn't really need to have this, but this was done primarily as a way of collecting revenue for the people running this little town. Well, there's a man I write about by the name of Robert Foster, who's a long-established businessman from the area. He was born and raised in Bend, Oregon, which is not far from Sun River. He has a hot tub installation and servicing business. He's somebody who has never been in trouble with the law until recently. And by law, I'm referring to the police. I'm not referring to violations of the actual law. I'm referring to the fact that he's gotten in trouble with the local institution for reasons I'll explain in just a second. In 2003, actually, the proposal was made that they create their own police force. And then a few years later, because this is not a town as such, not a municipality as such, there was a controversy with the local sheriff's office that didn't want to extend full recognition to the police department because they said this is actually a private housing development, and so you really shouldn't be trying to ticket people for traffic violations because these are not part of the highways of the state of Oregon, so you shouldn't be ticketing people for not wearing seatbelts and things of that sort. You, of course, are authorized to stop somebody who's driving recklessly and endangering other people's lives. You don't have to sit there and allow people to be run down by irresponsible or intoxicated drivers, but you're not entitled to issue traffic citations for about 8 different types of violations. This didn't sit well with the people running the city, and so they decided they were going to create a special service district at some several millions of dollars a year and fully vest the police department by having a measure passed in the legislature to do this. Well, the fellow I just mentioned, Robert Foster, didn't think this was a good idea. He said, we don't have to spend this money. We don't have the money to spend. We're at the retreating end of a housing bubble, so revenues are going to taper off. Where's the money going to come from? You're going to have this contract that's going to spend millions and millions of dollars a year we don't have. That means that the police are going to be out shaking people down for revenue. I don't think this is a good idea. Well, this all took place between 2007 and 2008, and since that time, Mr. Foster has been relentlessly harassed by the police department, which went to the remarkable extreme of filing a civil complaint against him, alleging that he was stalking the police, which is simply ludicrous on its face and almost impossible to imagine. What has happened is that they convinced a judge that on the basis of actions, and I've read all of the reports, I've got several hundred pages of documents that I've gone through and digested for the purpose of this article that I wrote. The reports described him doing such things as buying gasoline, going to the convenience stores and grocery stores, and doing things that are completely innocuous on their face, that are perfectly reasonable things for somebody with a business to do, and they're investing all of these with the subtext that he is somehow harassing and intimidating the police. This guy doesn't carry a gun. He's a mild-mannered 51-year-old man, very soft-spoken but forceful in terms of expressing his opinions. He's wraith-like in terms of his physique. It's difficult to think of somebody who's more visibly and obviously harmless than this guy. But a judge was convinced that he somehow was stalking the police. And so every time the police see him, or at least the three officers who filed this complaint against him, see him, they can actually have him arrested on site for doing nothing but coming within their field of vision. Well, this, of course, doesn't work very well. And so he went and filed a tort claim of his own, claiming that he was the subject of a criminal conspiracy to deny him of his civil rights. So this has gone to arbitration. The arbitrator is actually demanding of him that he accept the police department's deal, which would expunge the record, meaning all the things that they have done and they have admitted under oath that show that the claims leading to his stalking order, all that stuff is nonsense. The record is pretty clear. The police chief under oath admitted that although he insists this guy has committed all kinds of crimes, he'd never been arrested for any of these supposed crimes he'd committed. He was never able to document or illustrate any way that this guy had done anything that any reasonable person would consider to be criminal behavior. And that's why he'd never been arrested, in spite of the fact that the official reports depict this guy as if he were conducting a one-man reign of terror against the police department. But all that would be thrown into the memory hole, according to the settlement proposal, and he'd have to accept a 10-year stalking order, a violation of which could result in his imprisonment. Or he'd have to accept a 5-year stalking order and pay $10,000 for legal expenses. And the mediators tried to get him to accept this deal, which would essentially allow the police to throw him in jail anytime any one of them happened to run into him. And the thing that's really nasty about this story that I've not had time to develop in depth, although I was able to document it to my satisfaction, I just didn't have time to develop this aspect of the story, is that the people who are supposedly the victims of stalking have been stalking him, trying to find circumstances in which they can set him up to be arrested by finding out when he's shopping for groceries, when he's buying an ice cream cone for his grandkids, things like this, so that they'll violate his stalking order and end up having him sent to prison. And the other thing they've done is they've targeted his son-in-law. They actually, in one instance, conducted a traffic stop and tried to make it look as if he had been following them so that they could have his concealed carry permit revoked. The thing is, I go into depth in this particular story because, Dr. Stan, this is the sort of thing that's going to be happening. Actually, this is the sort of thing that is happening in small towns throughout the country that have municipal governments that are confronting trickling off sources of revenue, and they've got huge constituencies to feed in terms of the tax-devouring part of the population. There's just not revenue out there to feed them. And they're getting nastier and nastier as people confront them and criticize what they're doing. That's what's happening in Quartzsite, Arizona. There's this little town I mentioned last week called Renton, Washington, that is under the rule of a city government and a police department and a county prosecutor who are trying to prosecute for cyber stalking somebody who made an animated cartoon dramatizing the documented abuses and corruption of the police department there. They're trying to say that by virtue of the fact that these cartoons created an emotional injury on the part of the people who were not identified in the cartoon, that's a really important part of that story. They weren't identified by name in the cartoon, but their actions were described according to documents that are publicly available. But by virtue of the fact that they hurt the feelings of these functionaries, these cartoons supposedly constitute cyber-stalking and cyberbullying as they're trying to put this guy in prison. But that's the sort of thing that I'm doing at Pro Libertate, which is why it's the time and labor intensive, because there are details of the sort that have to be nailed down. And the most recent edition of Pro Libertate is this incredible story about Robert Foster from Sun River, Oregon. It's entitled Pity the Poor Persecuted Police, and it's dealing with the one an illustration of what Mr. Feltrinelli, ironically enough, was talking about, where you're dealing with corrupt and inept government agencies. The difference being, of course, that the revolutionary left wants to take advantage of the grievances of the public and mobilize them in such a way that you end up with revolutionary violence that ends up enhancing the power of that same corrupt government that then falls into the hands of the revolutionaries. But that's the sort of thing that I'm doing at Pro Libertate, the blog. The Pro Libertate radio program is on hiatus right now, but as I mentioned earlier in the program, Dr. Stan, I am in discussion with people about bringing it back. I'll let you know about developments on that front and your listeners as well as soon as there's something to report. And you mentioned as well that at the bottom of every essay on Pro Libertate, the blog, there is a PayPal button that people can use to donate if they have the means and the interest in doing so to help me keep the blog up and running and to help support my family. And as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, I have a very large family and a rather parlous situation here in terms of trying to support them in what is a very bad and admittedly worsening economic environment. I'm really grateful to you, Dr. Stan, for everything you've done for our family, and I'm grateful to your supporters and your listeners for the many acts of generosity they've made toward us. It's something for which we will always be grateful. Thank you so much.
And we certainly encourage people to support William. He is, I think, a tremendous asset to the conservative movement, an excellent source of good information because he documents everything carefully. And hopefully, where you'll be reading his latest newsletter under the Radio Liberty banner here very soon. So let's go right ahead, William. You want to go ahead, and you were talking earlier about this idea of pressure from above, pressure from below. In other words, this whole revolutionary movement that we're seeing in London, we're seeing certainly in Syria, we're seeing in Israel, we're seeing in Egypt, we're seeing in Cleveland, we're seeing in Wisconsin, we're seeing in Chicago, and we're going to see it increasingly across America. This whole thing is contrived. Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. One of the things that's happened is that as the flood of liquidity, which is to say inflation, has retreated, you've ended up exposing all the foul debris that have been concealed beneath it. And as it's exposed to sunlight, it's starting to defecate. You end up with tinderboxes in a lot of these cities, a lot of the neighborhoods in these cities, into which a single spark can be flung that would ignite a huge inferno. And that's what's happened in London. So what happens is that after the inferno is lit, and I'm irresistibly reminded of the fact that Lenin named his newspaper Iskra, which is Russian for the spark, and I'm reminded as well of that line from the novel by Dostoevsky, The Possessed, talking about the fire that was burning in this little college town that had been set by the local revolutionary incendiaries, that the fire is not in the buildings, but it's been lit in the minds of men. Anytime you have this full-throttle bonfire being lit here, when there's this rampaging inferno that's been ignited, what happens is that you have a reaction, which is to extinguish that fire by suffocating society, sucking the oxygen out of society so as to put out the fire. And this is done by the imposition of police state measures by the same government that supposedly is targeted by the revolutionaries, but actually is the beneficiary of this revolutionary action. So just a couple of days ago, we had David Cameron, the Prime Minister of England, go before the House of Commons and say the following: keeping people safe is the first duty of government. By the way, I don't agree with that. Protecting our liberty is the first duty of government, to the extent the government has a reason to exist. We will not allow a culture of fear to exist on our streets, and we will do whatever it takes to restore law and order and to rebuild our communities. Nothing should be off the table. Every contingency is being looked at, and by everything, among many other options that he hinted at, Cameron explicitly said that they would start making more extensive use of closed-circuit television. London is probably the most wired city in the Western world. I doubt that there are many places in communist China that are more comprehensively under surveillance than London is. And so they're talking about using facial recognition technology and turning the city into a literal panopticon in the interest supposedly of dealing with revolutionary violence. He's talking about the kill switch on the internet so as to stamp out social organizing by way of the web. That has obvious implications here for totalitarian information management. And then he talks about the possibility that there are tasks that the army could undertake that would free up more police for the front line. In other words, they're bringing up the specter of an outright military solution.
If I could just intervene, because we're running out of time. Yeah. Basically, of course, what they should do is simply put a curfew in. It would be very simply, they could have done this a week ago, they did not. They have no intention of trying to stop this. This is, of course, what they fortunately they did in Cleveland, where you had a black mayor and you had these black gangs going around, these flash attacks and a black youth attacking prosperous white people in stores and then melting away as soon as the police arrived. And the black mayor said, we're not going to put up with this, put in a curfew, and that's how you control it. Why doesn't Cameron do that? Because he doesn't want to. He wants a justification for the totalitarian approach. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, exactly. They withdrew the police while the mobs were raging. Then they sent them in after people started to organize to defend their homes and property. That tells you everything you know about what's really going on there.
And that's how you do it. Pressure from above, or refusing to do what's right from above, and then pressure from below. And we in between will lose our freedom. That's what it's about. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, as always, I'm really grateful to you for this opportunity to be on your program. It's a wonderful platform.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the 4 gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.